Thanks, Mr. Matonsi. Good morning, honorable members. Morning, the chairperson of the commission and all commissioners, the executive, the director general, and all your team. Firstly, to extend apology for starting 10 minutes late than scheduled due to the traffic congestion. And I want to request you, Mr. Matonsi, to fly to the agenda so that we deal with the matter as we have advised both the IEC and the Home Affairs. Thank you, members. This is the agenda for today. We slightly had to amend it, and I'm sure that members will not have an issue with the agenda. The first point, which we've received a correspondence from the minister, who's currently scheduled to present the Electoral Matters Amendment Bill and Marriage Bill to Cabinet Subcommittee for purpose of the presentation to the committee, to cabinet. So the minister will not be able to join the portfolio committee. I'm raising this because we did request the minister to come to the meeting to brief the committee around the names of the electoral panel. As you know, he's out of time in terms of the legislation, and also to give us a reasoning why he could not present to the committee, and also interaction with the IEC. So we thought that it's an important matter to deal with and finalize, but we accepted the apology due to the issues which are urgent and the committee need to deal with, that they must find time to deal in the portfolio, in the cabinet subcommittee. Two matters that I've requested the commission, Chairperson Mieta, that they must do a line, a pager or a brief on the issues that arise, or a report on the voter registration conducted over the weekend, and also Home Affairs Director General to present also the voter registration weekend in terms of their program of Home Affairs that happened over the weekend. Then we'll deal with also the item that follows, the second quarter performance expenditure report of the IEC, and then the legacy report. That is the agenda for today. I'm sure that members will not have an issue with that. Mr. Matonsi, can you then invite you on the second item on apologies?
Yes, Chairperson, from the committee side, I've got only one apology from Ms. Lekwase. She's attending the Defense Committee, which is got the physical meeting. But also I receive, although the DM is in the meeting, I've also received an apology that it might be leaving early from the meeting. That's all from my side, Chairperson.
Okay, thanks very much. I'll start with the DM, the Home Affairs, on the preparations. And then after that, I will invite the Commissioner Mieta to introduce the report, give us a brief on the voter registration, and invite a presentation on the second quarter report. Then we'll deliberate after all those two reports have been presented. Deputy Minister?
No, thank you very much, Chair. As you will know that over the weekend, we had taken a decision that we would open our offices to make sure that those who are in need of documents, enabling them to participate in voter registration, are able to do so. At the core of our operations and the target was mainly collections, to make sure that those who have identity documents sitting with us can be able to collect their documents, and also for temporary identification certificates for those who would have lost their identity documents, so that they can be helped in the immediate. Over the weekend, Chair, we had about 20,350 people who came in to visit our offices. We had about 9,312 clients who came to collect their smart ID cards, as well as the 8,832 who came in to apply for smart ID cards, and 842 green barcoded IDs, and 993 clients were then issued with the temporary identification certificates. Mr. Sigama will take us through the entire presentation in terms of how we were able to do so, including our communication drive. The one matter I would like to alert members of the committee on is that on Saturday, when we opened our offices at 8 in Gauteng, we could not operate some of those offices. The reason for that, Chair, is that there was a planned update that was meant to be done by CETA. They, however, wrote to us requesting that they do that update. We then informed them that they must not do the update because we are having a voter registration weekend, because when you do some systems update, it interferes with your capacity and it can take away your ability to function normally in some of the days. But someone somewhere decided to then continue with the update within CETA, which then affected our offices in Gauteng for about 3 to about 3.5 hours, which means we lost substantial hours due to that issue that we inherited from CETA. But we eventually were able to then continue operating within our normal operating speed, and we were able to service the clients over the 2 days. Our offices were opened between 8 and 5, which was aligned with the IEC operating hours. But I think I will then hand over to Mr. Sigama to then make a detailed presentation. I'm going to have to request to be excused, Chair, as I placed an apology in about an hour or so, because I have to attend an IOM meeting in Zambia. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Sigama.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. Honorable members, good morning. Indeed, I will be taking the committee through the presentation. Chairperson, I would like to check if the presentation is visible on the slides.
No, it's not yet visible, Mr. Kim.
Okay.
Yeah, it's proper. I can proceed. Proper.
No, thanks. Thanks very much, Chairperson. Yes, in our presentation, Chairperson, I'll try and rush through the purpose, the background, the relationship between our department together with IEC. We look at the services that were rendered over the weekend, as DM indicated. We also look at the issue of the champions, wherein we had to appoint our ESCO members to go and monitor the services at the front offices for the 2 days. And also the communication strategy that was used throughout the 2 days to make sure that clients are informed and are also invited to come and collect sums, also to apply for their enabling documents. Then slide 7.7 will deal with the progress that was made within the 2 days, which is the 18th and 19th of November. And lastly, we'll deal with the recommendations. Then indeed, we are here today to provide progress report on the voter registration weekend that took place on the 18 and 19. And indeed, I won't labor much on the background because I know that this is known by all of us. But suffice to say, as you are aware, the IEC commenced with the issues of preparations of elections project, wherein they also announced that on the 18th and the 19th, there will be voter registration weekend, and that was also followed by the launch. But our responsibility as Home Affairs Chair was more about us making sure that we issue clients with enabling documents, and in this case, we're referring to their identity documents, their smart ID cards, as well as the TICs. So by virtue of us being the custodian of this identity, we become the role player in ensuring that citizens are able to exercise their rights to vote and in elections. So the plan was to make sure that we also support the drive to encourage clients to come and collect, and where offices are not busy, we also had to give them an opportunity to apply for their enabling documents. So as a department, we are sitting with 559,799 smart ID cards that are lying in our offices. But what is key here is that we have got 135,683 first-time applicants whose smart ID cards are in the offices. The rest, the balance of 424,116 are for those people who have got IDs in their possessions, and we know that those people were able to register because they had IDs in their possession. So our focus over the weekend was to reduce the 135,683 IDs that are lying in our offices for those that have applied for the first time. So our relationship with the IEC is known, and it's more about us sharing information between the IEC and the department, also making sure that we make provision for identity documents, smart ID cards, and TICs for those who are eligible voters. So IEC also send reference to the department in case they are not able to check them on their voter registration rolls. And we also have to make sure that we verify them against our system before they are registered for voter registration. Then the services that we have rendered over the past two days on the weekends, one was, as I've indicated, was more about making sure that we facilitate applications and collection of green barcoded ID books, as well as the smart ID cards, and also the issuance of TICs, which is the temporary identity certificates, wherein we online verify people. Once they are verified, then we proceed to issue them with the TICs. Also to resolve challenges such as duplicates, amendments, rectifications, wherein people are not able to find the final documentation, we have to make sure that we resolve them and then give feedback to IEC, including those potential voters, to then be clear so that they can go and register without any difficulty. And the last one is to manually verify the temporary identity certificates before they could be registered on the voters' roll. So in terms of our process, we had to work. We're working closely with IEC, as I've indicated before. Then we had to make sure that we align our operational hours with that of IEC. In this case, we had to open our offices from 8 to 5 on both days, which is the 18th and the 19th of the 1st December. And we also indicated that should they then move, we'll continue our collaboration with IEC so that we then work together if there's the need for the second voter registration weekend. So as a department, we also engaged on overtime so that we then work closely with them. And in both days, indeed, we worked overtime so that our staff can also make sure that they support the voter registration weekend. Then in terms of the logistics, as our Deputy Minister indicated before, we then pull all stock. We had to make sure that we take our expo members, deploy them as champions to all provinces so that they then assist. And their responsibilities, amongst others, was to make sure that they monitor office functionality and operations. They also had to provide additional capacity and leadership where there's a need. And the last one was to make sure that they facilitate the resolution of inquiries that French offices may encounter, and make sure that they give them feedback on the spot so that we don't have to delay clients while they are in our offices. Then we also had a list of those that were deployed. You see most of them are at DDG level, and some of them are support members at EPSCO, and we had to distribute them evenly throughout the country. And our principals, our minister was in Eastern Cape, while our deputy minister was in Free State in both days. So in terms of our media plan drive, we started a bit earlier, which as early as the 26th of October 2023, where we had to focus on five pillars, where we dealt with issues of media relations, the digital media, print and radio placement, the mall activations, the stakeholder engagement. And under media relations, we had to make sure that we issue statements. I believe most of you have seen them. And we also had to make sure that we arrange for interviews. Our deputy minister was also on TV on Sunday, wherein he also gave a standard call of what happened the previous day. And there were also other media statements that were issued immediately afterwards. The issue of digital media, I think that was there was an advert that was flighted throughout to just inform clients of the services that would be rendering. Some of them were on News24 and other platforms to make sure that clients are aware of the work that we're doing. In terms of print media, we had once approved, we had to make sure that we work closely with other newspapers, for example, Sowetan, there was an advert, but there were a whole range of other platforms that we used to make sure that clients are aware of the service that we will be rendering. The last one was radio, that was also used, Radio PSA, which is public service announcement by our minister, the DM, as well as our officials that were nominated to talk around the voter registration weekend issues. So in terms of the progress that was made, Chair and members of the portfolio committee, as you can see, during day one and day two, we had to make sure that most of our offices are open. So throughout the province, so on day one, we had 295 offices that were open, and day two, we had 284. And in terms of the staff complements, during day one, we had 1,343, while during day two, we had to make sure that we increase a bit of pace because we were anticipating quite a number of clients on the last day, but we had to increase it by a small margin, which is 1,368. So mobiles were also deployed throughout the country. As you can see, during day one, we had 83. And during day two, we had 77. That was also balanced because of the demand that was required on the ground. As and when there was a need, we had to pull the balance and make sure that we send them to areas where there's a need for mobiles, particularly in deep rural areas and where communities were in need of our services. So that what we did, as DM indicated earlier, the smart card, we managed to issued 9,312 smart cards over the 2 days. And there were also applications because where we realized that we don't have a huge number of clients, we also allowed clients to come and apply for their documentation. And in this case, we were able to collect 8,832 applications for smart ID cards. We issued 993 TICs for those who had lost their documents or were not able to trace their documentation. And that also amount to 993 TICs that were issued. And the ID books that were still lying in book and in offices, we had 842. Then you could see that the drive in terms of smart ID cards is there. People are now trying to come in numbers to apply and also collect for smart ID cards. So in summary, that's the summary that we had for two days, where we were saying that we had 1,042 green barcoded ID books that were collected. We also had about 195 green barcoded ID books applications that were received and 9,312 smart ID cards that were collected. Including 8,832 applications for smart cards that were lodged in various offices during the weekend. TICs were only 993, and the referrals by IEC were only 49, while the queries that were sent to the department, to our back office, were only 197. So in summary, 20,350 clients received Home Affairs services during the voter registration weekend. So 9,312 clients came to collect their smart ID cards, which included both first-time applicants and reissues, and 8,832 came to apply for smart ID cards on both days, while 842 green barcoded ID books were collected during this period. And the last one was the TICs amounting to 993 that were issued to clients who wanted to register on both days. So in closing, it is recommended that the portfolio committee knows the report for voter registration weekend that took place over the past weekend. Thank you, Chair.
Hello, Chairperson. Chairperson? Can anybody hear me?
Yes, from Eddie,
yes, we can hear you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it looks like the chairperson might be having difficulties with connection. It cannot hear me. If maybe Ms. Mudisa, if you can take over.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hello, Chair?
Can you hear me, Mr. Mutant?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, I have difficulty with the network here in the Parliament.
You cut off Chairperson again. Chairperson? Can anyone hear him?
No, Eddie. We can hear
no,
you.
No, we can't.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, if maybe Ms. Mudisa, if she can just continue while I'm trying to figure out if he's trying to connect again.
Yeah, can you allow the IEC to...
From what I heard from the chairperson is that we should allow the IEC to present on the voter registration weekend.
Thank you, Mr. Matonsi. Members of the committee, the chair, Deputy Minister, DG, my colleagues, members of the commission, CEO and your team. Good morning to you all. I think this morning, we are joined by four members of the commission. One is not with us, is busy in the Northern Cape with work that we are doing, and that's Commissioner Love. Very briefly, I will deal with the registration weekend activity, how things went. I must indicate that we had a very good weekend. It was good because we have really operationally managed to have the arrangements that we had put in place holding. Things worked as we planned, in spite of challenges in places with electricity, rains, and other things. The equipment, the VMD held, and the staff generally worked well. There is no room for complacency. We do debrief after a process like this, and we will be doing so shortly and looking at some of the things that we may still need to optimize. But generally, we report that we are grateful. We are grateful to all stakeholders, yourselves in the committee, political parties, because essentially we create the supply side of opportunities to register and to vote. We simply cannot offer anything beyond creating supply side. The demand side of things is created by political parties, and I think we must give them credit. Very briefly, we had total registration activity of 2.9 million. People. Out of these 2.9 million people, 568,374 were new registrations, 929,000 were re-registrations in different VDs. In other words, persons that had moved houses or places of residence. And then we have 1.4 million people being those that have re-registered in the same VD. This is important to make a distinction. Very clearly, those that are re-registering in the same VD were either checking their details or optimizing their registration details. In other words, either changing a small thing in their you know, registration, an address, for example, adding an address or something like that. But also those that we're just checking. Re-registrations are people ensuring that their details on the voter's roll are also correct in that they had moved. The part that really looks at, everyone looks at, is the 568 additions. Out of those, 445,000 were people that were between the ages of 16 and 29. Members will recall that this is a cohort that we have always indicated as a big challenge. They represent 73% of the new registrations. And this means that the work we have set out with yourselves is bearing fruit. I do not intend to deal with a lot of these things, except to say that the trends indicate that Gauteng, with the largest population in terms of the provinces, did in fact register the highest number of people. Their share of the weekend registration activity is 21%, followed by KwaZulu-Natal at 19.3% and the Eastern Cape at 17%. In terms of the application of the VMD, we did indicate last week when we met with yourselves that it should hold. Even if there are challenges with electricity, at least for a day. That was exactly the plan, and that plan has worked out. Out of all of the registration weekend activity, 834,000 of them were processed live. In other words, when a person came and their details were taken, they were immediately sent through. 1.87 million were those that were captured, held onto the system, and later transmitted, as we had indicated. No challenges in that respect. The last thing I want to indicate was that 196,000 of the registrations that we recorded over the weekend were online, and it is great to see that working for us. I then move to a second matter that we've been requested to just brief the committee on. It is the issue that had arisen, concerning SATU. This matter is unfortunate because for a number of years we have taken measures in consultation with the party liaison committee at national level. We have a rigorous set of criteria that we use for persons that we employ. In that respect, there are processes for objections. Names of persons that we employ over the weekend are presented at this PLC, as we have often briefed this committee about. In this registration weekend that we had, that was no exception. The names were given to party liaison committees, and persons were objected to. We found, or we did receive, 12 objections, and those objections were dealt with very swiftly. The amount of discussion that is spent on this, in truth, it's not proportional to the challenge we have. As you know, members, we do not know who belongs to which establishment. But that is notwithstanding the fact that people, in terms of the Constitution, have the freedom of association. What was important was that when we developed this criteria, it had already discounted these things, and it said anyone that holds a party political office. For example, if a person that we employ is sitting in the executive or is serving in the executive of an institution that has party political aims, that person cannot then be employed, and the party is subject to them. At a practical level, those objections, as I indicated, have been dealt with. But for some reason, in the media and political level, we still have that challenge. I do not wish to address that challenge here, because we do engage with political parties on this matter at the appropriate forums. We've also indicated to SATU that we do ask them to deal with restraint on the matter, to assist us, as it were, because we are dealing with that matter ourselves. It is a situation of two elephants fighting and the grass suffering. In this instance, we are the grass, and we ask for restraint. Chairperson, I want to pause there for the moment.
Thank you. Can you invite the commission to proceed?
Chair, without taking more time, I did indicate that the CEO and the CFO are here with us. I understand that the CFO will go and will be presenting, but let me give over to the CEO just in case he has opening comments on the presentation that you're going to get. Through you and Chairperson, let me invite the Chief Electoral Officer to introduce the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee and members of the Portfolio Committee. We are presenting our first and second quarter report, as well as the budget that goes with those reports. And as you will see, we've done well from our vantage point with respect to the targets that we have set. But you'll also see that there's an increase in activity as well as budget, because this is an election year, so to speak, in terms of the two registrations, one we just had and the one that the Commission will announce. But all that will become clear from the presentation that the CFO will give. And I hand over through you, Chair, to the CFO.
Thank you very much, CEO. CFO?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, CEO. Good morning, all. I hope I am audible. You'll just indicate if I'm not audible as I speak.
Yeah, and Sierra is CFO.
Okay.
Yeah, you're proper now.
Okay, thank you so much. I think we can just go back. Just one second. Okay. Chair, I'll just quickly go through the presentation covering the two quarters as well as the budget, focused really on the two quarters and where we are in terms of our performance. I hope the presentation is showing clearly on your side.
Yes, correct. Proceed.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Chair, my presentation will really cover, firstly, I want to cover performance information. I'll look at the four programs, go into the detail where we are in terms of our performance. I'll also then cover just the organization overview, because it's critical to understand what was driving our performance during the two quarters, what is also influencing our spending trends for the two quarters. We can go into the next slide, the organizational performance. Just on a global view, you'll note that we've got a budget of 3.8 billion. We do have four programs that we have. We've got 14 targets, of which only 9 relate to quarter one as well as quarter two. And then for the period under, for the year, we're looking at 2 national registration weekends. So this is just the global picture for the entire year. Key activities For the first two quarters, we focused on the preparation for the first national registration weekend, which was on the 18th as well as the 19th of November. We did a recruiting for training and expansion of electoral staff. We updated and prepared the voter management devices as well as electoral systems. We also did a lot of procurement for the voting station, infrastructure support for November registration weekend. And we also focused on the production of advertising campaigns. And then lastly, we increased the civic as well as democracy education. If you look at quarter one globally, you do understand that we do have four programs. The first one focusing on administration, which really covers on governance. There we had two targets, of which we achieved 100%. Program two focuses on the electoral operations, of which we had one target which was measured in the current period. I'll go into the detail which one it is, and we achieved 100%. The third one is outreach, which is focused on strengthening electoral democracy. We had three targets for the period quarter one, of which we achieved 100%. Party funding, we had three targets at which we had to measure our performance, and we did achieve 100%. So overall, in quarter one, we achieved 100% of the targets that we had planned to do. Quarter two was no different. We did have nine targets, and equally, we still achieved 100% of those targets for quarter two. We can go to program one and dissect the relevant targets. The first one is relating to the number of quarterly risk and strategic registers which need to be reviewed by the ERMC. The target, we had planned to do one. We did achieve the target. The second target is the percentage of networks and application systems that are available. We achieved that target. We achieved 90% uptime of the hours in quarter one. In quarter two, we achieved 92%. So that again shows that we've achieved those targets. We move swiftly along. Number of funded positions. That is an annual target, which we will report at the end of the year. The obtaining of the clean audit is also an annual target, which is really dependent on the outcome of the audit at the end of the year by the Auditor General. So that was not measured or reported on for these two quarters. If we move into program two, the first one is a percentage of elections set aside. There were no elections set aside, so that again is a target reach. The next one is the number of registered voters as of 31st of March. This is also an annual target of which we will report at end of the year. So it's still really premature to report on it now, but at least you know there's progress being made there. If we move into program three, which is our outreach program, you'll look at the first one, which is a number of research initiatives. We do a number of research initiatives. This is an annual target. We are planning to do three, but we will report on where we are at the end of the year. If we move swiftly along, the number of thought leaderships and interactions, we had planned to do two in quarter one. We have achieved the two. In quarter two, we had planned to do four, and we have achieved four. Then swiftly, we move to the number of face-to-face events, which is a CDE. If you look at quarter one, we had planned to do 10,000. We actually exceeded that, and we achieved 11,999. If you then look at quarter two, we had planned to do 20,000, and we had achieved 49,000. If we move swiftly, the number of meetings with Electoral Commission with key stakeholders for quarter one, we had targeted to do 20. We had achieved to do 27, demonstrating that we achieved our target. Quarter two, we had targeted to do 30, and we achieved 30. So again, that is a target met. Then our record for the reach in terms of multimedia, this is also a target that we're going to measure at the end of the year. But we are aiming to make an impact of about 250 million, which we'll then report on at the end of the year in terms of multimedia. Program number four, we've got three targets. We had the first one is the number of disbursements to the represented political parties. We had planned to do one. That was achieved. Quarter two, we had planned one. That was also achieved. Then we also have the number of liaison sessions that are held with the stakeholders and potential contributors to the MPDF. We had planned for two. We achieved three. Also in quarter two, we planned for two and we achieved three. Then the last one is the number of publications for the declaration of political parties. The target is one, we achieved one, and then subsequently quarter one, the target is one, and we achieved two. So overall, it's just we have achieved all our targets at 100% for both quarter one and quarter two of the nine that are planned for quarter one and quarter two. If we can move swiftly along into the budget, what did we budget for quarter one? We had budgeted approximately 405 million, of which 91% was spent. I'll get into the details of the underspending. For quarter two, we had also budgeted 542 million, of which 91% of the budget had been spent. The underspend is not really something to be worried about. I don't think it's that material, but if we can maybe just get into why the underspend. For program one, really the underspend relates to the delays in filling some of the permanent positions that we have in the vacancies. And this is also due to the labor issue that we are still resolving. Secondly, on program two, slight underspend, and this is really because of the staggered appointment of electoral and expansion staff, but this had no impact on our preparation for the registration weekend. Also under program three, just a slight staggering also of appointment that resulted in that slight underspend. But I think overall, in terms of our spending patterns, they are driven by what we are doing as an organization, what the activities are in that period. And I think from a performance perspective, you can see that our targets are at 100%, our spending is 90%. So the correlation is also showing you that we are performing in terms of these two quarters, and what we had actually planned to do, we have achieved. Chair, I'll hand over to the CEO if she wants to add something.
Thank you, CFO, for the presentation. CEO. CEO.
That would be our report for the two quarters and the budget. I have no additional input.
Okay, thanks very much, Commissioner Mehta, the CEO, the CFO for the presentation, and also the Deputy Minister and Mr. Sigama. Members, these are the presentations which were are before us. Will note to comment and deliberate, and also on the two separate presentations we've earlier requested, they've presented on the work undertaken over the weekend in relation to the voter registration. I'm going to invite members who are in attendance, Honorable Van der Merwe, Honorable Lekwa, Honorable Mokgale, Honorable Khanyile, Honorable Pillay, Honorable Ross, and Honorable Advocate Bongani Pongo. In that order, can I invite Honorable Van der Merwe?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you very much to both the DHA and the IEC for their presentations. I think we need to congratulate both the Department of Home Affairs and the IEC for great work over the weekend. I think most the weekend went off without glitches, and I think South Africans at large participated, and so I think both the DHA and IEC must be congratulated. However, I wanted to ask a question. I saw that in some instances in some communities we had issues with protesting, and I know that some community leaders were involved in some of those protests, and I wanted to know whether any of our voting stations were not able to proceed as planned or were possibly closed due to some of those protests in the communities. I wanted to ask, why were the majority of voter registrations done in offline mode? Was this due to not stable connection in those areas or due to load shedding? I wanted to also know, with regard to the media campaign, I'm sort of feeling that the media campaign around the IEC in particular is what led, also the work that political parties did in terms of getting people to register to vote over the weekend. I'm wondering whether the IEC will be able to sustain this type of level of media campaign from now till the elections? Because I think it's no good we just get the numbers of people to come out and register to vote for the registration weekend. We need to sustain this into the next weekend and obviously in the lead up to the election, considering the numbers of people we still need to register. And then I wanted to know with regards to the slide on the quarterly performance, there was the underspend was related to the vacancies and then the presenter made an issue or made a mention of labor issues that have not been resolved, whether we can just get an indication what that is. And generally, I want to ask the IEC, considering that the matter of the changes to the electoral legislation is still before the court pending, what impact has that got on the preparations for the elections? I know I keep on seeing on the TV that you make mention in your press conferences that you are ready for an early election earlier than later and that preparations are going well. But surely with the court not having been, well, not pronouncing on the matters that it's reviewing, it should be a cause of concern for all of us. So I think I will leave it there. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Merve, for your contribution. Honourable Molekwa. Honourable Molekwa. Honourable Mogale. Honourable Mogale. Honourable Kanyile.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and greetings to you, the colleagues and everyone on the line, DHA and IEC. Chairperson, we welcome both the presentations that are in front of us, and I'd like to echo the same sentiments by Honourable Van der Merwe that we congratulate both the DHA and the IEC for the work that they have done over the weekend, especially looking at the numbers that are presented before us. However, Chairperson, I just have a few questions as well that I would like to pose. My first set of questions are directed to the Department of Home Affairs. They have indicated that they had about 842 applications for green barcoded IDs. I also understand that there's only a few offices that offer this service, and it's quite a distance to drive for a number of our citizens. What I'd like to know is how far is the process to issue the smart card ID to the naturalized citizens? And also, Chairperson, we received a number of calls on Friday indicating that there was a network problem or a network failure at Home Affairs. We would like to know what was the cause. Also, during the Deputy Minister's opening, he indicated that there was a glitch on Saturday, especially in Gauteng, because CISA was updating their system. What I'd like to know is that was that updating of the system finalized? And does it mean going forward, we will not hear about any systems interruptions in Gauteng? Chairperson, in the slide 6 of the Department of Home Affairs, there's a presentation that was made that there were cases that were resolved for dead alive cases. What I would like to know is, was the department only confirming if the voters were alive or maybe they were deceased, or they were dealing with the cases where somebody has been declared dead while they're still alive? Because I do know there's a number of such cases that I have dealt with previously. And if those are the cases, I'd like to know how many cases were resolved over the weekend, and if possible, maybe they can provide a state of how many cases they're still going to sort out. Coming to IEC, the first question that I have, Chairperson, I would like to strongly raise the issue of the demarcation. Honourable Van der Merwe has indicated the issue of protest. We also had members of the community protesting, especially in Ward 4. I don't have the addresses. I'm trying to get addresses from the ground. You find people that reside right behind the VD, But according to the IEC's VD, they are not allowed to vote in that particular VD, a VD that you can literally point at. You see even when you wake up in the morning, but you're not allowed to vote in that VD because of the demarcation of the IEC. You're then taken away 3, 4, 5 kilometers away from the area that you reside in. I would like to know, how can you go about addressing those situations? Because at the moment, we have realized that the presiding officers, they have they are unable to resolve that situation, except indicating that the demarcation indicates that you don't vote here, so you cannot vote here. And Chairperson, also when it comes to the online registrations, during the presentation, there was an indication that there was about 196,000 online registrations that were received over the weekend. However, what we picked up as well is that on the second day, I think that should be the 19th of November, there was a problem with the online registration system. You would put in the voter system ID numbers, and immediately after we have verified that we are not a robot, the system will not take you further. We would like to know what could have been the cause for this. Does it mean there was a problem with their system? If there was, what it could have been, and has it been resolved? And does it mean we're not going to experience the similar thing going into February, because we're going to have another registration weekend? And on SATU, Chairperson, I think this issue has been raised over and over and over again, and it was raised again in the last meeting that we have had. In our country, we have a highest rate of unemployment in each and every province, each and every district, and a constituency as well. We would like to encourage the IEC and everyone that is responsible for hiring people that are working during those days to ensure that you may be given opportunity to the unemployed instead of hiring the SATU members, because at least they are getting a salary. What I'd also like to find out, Chairperson, is that, is how many more new registrations can realistically be expected before the next election, given the 2% increase in new registrations collected on the weekend? The last question that I have, Chairperson, there was a slide that indicated that there was about more than 40,000 of face-to-face outreach programs that were done. What I would like to know is, if possible, I would like the IEC to provide indications of where these face-to-face were conducted, whether it was throughout all the 9 provinces that we have in our country, or there was a particular area that they were targeting. Thank you very much.
No, thanks, Honorable Camille. Just on Honorable Camille, now that on the point, you raised a matter in the last week in relation to a what. I just want to find out whether yourself and Mr. Shiburi, you did interacted post our meeting.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for raising that question. I'm still waiting for the addresses. The issue that I raised last week, it was two people residing in the same house. And one is registered in the VD that is closer to where they reside, and the other one is in a VD outside their area of residence. I'm still waiting for them to send me the address and their contact details, but I have requested that information. But the information that I'm raising today, it is different. There are a number of people that are residing behind a VD, but according to an IEC demarcation, they are not allowed to vote in a demarcation, in a VD that is closer to them. And they were told by presiding officers that they needed to vote or go and register in the VD that is about 3 or 5 kilometers away from their area of residence. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. So what I wanted to check, so you have not, because you are still waiting for information, it has not reached IEC, is what you are saying?
Yes, Chairperson. As soon as I receive it, I'll definitely escalate it to Mr. Shiburi.
Okay. No, thanks. Yeah, I just wanted to be clearer on that part. Thank you, Honorable Kanyile. Honorable Pile.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Sure, let me just join all other honorable members and congratulate both the Department of Home Affairs and
IEC for the excellent work that they've done over the weekend. Chair, I also want to say that we've been raising this many a times about reaching out to young people. And I think the report and the stats show that there's been an incredible number or increase in young people that have been registered to vote. And I think we must commend them for that. Mine is just to check that there has been some VDs where there was no electricity, and that created a challenge where they were not able to pick up verification. What would be the contingency plan going forward? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Ross.
Thank you very much, Chair. And yes, I join the chorus of congratulations to the IEC and the Department of Home Affairs for a successful registration weekend this last weekend. Of course, Chair, I will raise a few areas for improvement. I think on the Home Affairs side, for a start, we need Home Affairs offices open every Saturday. That will certainly be great. I think the one challenge that was picked up and reported to me quite a few times is that persons were being, they'd applied for a smart ID or something like that, and then they were being turned away for a temporary ID because the system is offline. So I checked on that, but I just wanted to understand whether that is possible, that you could apply for a temporary ID, having applied for a smart ID, and then being told that the temporary ID system is offline. And the question I have really linked to this is that if this happens, and bearing in mind that closer to the elections itself, Home Affairs offices might be open for persons to pick up an ID or a temporary ID. So should this happen again, or should this happen the day before an election, what will clients be able to do? Will there be some sort of a hotline where they can report this? If somebody's being told that a system is offline, or they can't get a temporary ID because a system is offline, because we are told about champions that were out in the region, etc. So I just want to get an understanding of that. Then in terms of the IEC, I think, yes, you know, 50% of registrations being on the age group of 20 to 29 is really fantastic. And I was wondering if there's anything in specific that this can be attributed to, but I think, you know, the answer was given that there was, in general, a good focus on these age groups and marketing. So really well done on that. There were also a number of reports of tents blown away. Look, I experienced this in Tshwane, of tents that literally collapsed. And if this had to happen on an election day, it would be absolutely disastrous. I think this committee has raised this before, but it's something that really urgently needs to be looked at. If it's absolutely essential to have a tent, especially in a suburban area, that those tents are of sufficient quality, and that some sort of a verification is done that the tent is going to stand up and withstand high winds, etc. Because this was really problematic. Even just in Tshwane, for example, where I were, there were a few cases of tents that were blown away by winds that came there and literally collapsed. Then I noticed that the VMD, only 30% of the applications were done by the VMD in an online state. And a lot of the reasons given was load shedding and the inability to connect. And I think the challenge here was that, you know, many presiding officers, they just continued to try. And there were complaints that, you know, presiding officers were waiting up to 30 minutes to get a signal, whereas they should have just gone into offline mode. So what I want to find out from the IEC is, you know, is this completely at the discretion of the presiding officer, or will there be some sort of a way to say you need to switch over if you've tried for 2 minutes or 5 minutes, etc.? Because if you're going to wait for an eternity to get a signal, you're going to hold up the queue. It's not going to work on an election day. Then I think another concern that was raised was the number of stations where VMDs operated in the offline mode, and where voters wanted to register at another station, apart from the one where they are actually registered to be or where they should be, and they were turned away. So it was my understanding that the IEC gave assurances that this would not happen, that you could go and register at any station If you consider that you can go online from wherever you're standing and register online, then surely you should be able to go to a different voting station and register for where you need to vote. Of course, on election day, you have to go to the one where you're registered. So I'd just like some clarity on that one. Then the online platform was offline between 11 o'clock and 7 o'clock on the Sunday. So what caused this and what is being done to address this? Because it was a repeat of the platform going offline frequently in the run-up to the 2021 elections during high traffic periods. And there was an assurance from the IEC that this would not be repeated, given the number of improvements made to the system. So if we can just understand what is going to be done now in the long term to remedy that. Then last Tuesday, the IEC Deputy CEO of Electoral Operations, Mr. Shiburi, confirmed to this committee that the online voter registration system for voters abroad is ready and will be open to accept registrations from this last weekend. And then on Friday, Granville Abrahams said at an IEC presser that the online registration was in the final processes of being launched. And then suddenly this weekend, it just didn't happen at all. It failed to go live. And I struggled to find communications about this in any way or form. And then over the weekend, it is my understanding that then there was, we went back to the situation where the excuse was that we're waiting for regulations to allow for this. And this didn't come up on Tuesday at all. So why was the portfolio committee told that this application is ready and will be launched over the weekend? And again, I repeat the question, if some regulations are dependent on the Constitutional Court judgment in the independence case, and then others that relate to things like online registrations are not, then why is Home Affairs and the IEC not splitting the regulations and finalizing those that allow people to register, and then finalizing the ones related to the Constitutional Court judgments at a later stage? And my second last question is when will the IEC have the finalized list of voting states abroad? And should it be that only consulates where there are foreign missions should have voting station? And what happens in countries where this is not the case? So where there is no South African mission, what will happen to those voters who want to register and vote in the next year's elections? Then on the first and second quarter performance report, just a few comments, just very briefly. And again, well done on the 100% performance in both quarters, really outstanding work. I just want to understand the online availability. Does the online availability of VMD devices factor into the target of 90% of network and application systems availability that is measured in hours? And then what preparations for the election are being delayed due to the electoral law's consequential amendments that are not yet processed? And what are the possible implications if the Electoral Laws Consequential Amendment Bill is not completed in time for the election, given the ongoing delays? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Ross. Honourable Bongo?
No, thank you, Chair. And good morning to everyone. I want to join the members of the committee in indeed congratulating the IEC and the Department of Home Affairs for a sterling work over the past weekend. I think we need to say this, that we do not take this work lightly. The work that was put, I think it was a very great work that the people of our country continue to appreciate. With regard to the Home Affairs work, I think there were few problems reported, but we want to appreciate the speed with which the department has addressed those problems, because those problems within 1 hour, they were just properly resolved. And we should appreciate civil servants like Mr. Sikama, people who go all out to make sure that they serve our people with pride and integrity. My main issue will be the amendments that we may need to deal with before we go for elections. If we can be given comfort as to whether we'll be within the timelines in dealing with all the amendments, the consequential amendments that must be dealt with, so that we don't delay the issue of the next election. But other than that, I think also the IEC has done well. We see a lot of youth registration as reported. I think it is appreciated. I'm not sure whether are we still going to have another voter registration, or was this the last one? But I'm sure if we get to the next one, I see that it has the potential of even bringing more people to come and register. But from where I'm sitting, for the work of over the weekend, I think it's all systems go. And we should congratulate both the department and the IEC for the sterling work. Thank you.
Thank you. Advocate Bongani Bongo, is there any other member? I called earlier Honorable Mokgale and Honorable Mulegwa. I'm not sure whether if they're before I invite. Okay. No, thanks, members, for your remarks and contributions to the presentations. I think I fully agree that we must congratulate the IEC and Home Affairs on the work that has been done over the weekend, but also second quarter performance report in terms of their targets that has been demonstrated in the report shows the strong governance at the level of the executive and also the commissioners. There's one area which I wanted to raise, which Lizette has already raised. I think if we can labor, explain in detail issue of the underspending in relation to the dispute, so that the committee is able to interact on that matter. The deputy minister raised an issue of CETA that they had an agreed on the process, and ultimately they've taken a decision outside that agreement, which contributed to collapse the network in some of the areas. What are the measures that are going to be taken moving forward? And I think we've been raising this matter with the department and the minister in terms of the issue of network with CETA. So I want to check with the deputy minister or the DG, what are the measures moving forward so that this matter does not occur again, that impact negatively on the work of the Home Affairs. I think the issue of opening up on Saturday, we may need to strongly look at offices, deputy minister, because it has shown that most of our people or the residents do go and receive services on weekend. And this weekend has demonstrated the number of people who have turned out to access services on this day. So we need to see how we strengthen that. We know that is a matter between yourselves and the labor union on the Saturday opening, but I think we must engage further on that. We have listened carefully to the chair of the commission, Commissioner Mieza, in terms of the issues that are arising from the political parties in relation to the subject matter that resides with yourselves. And in your presentation last week, the IEC demonstrated how issues that may arise, or any other political party or citizen that has issue with the matter in relation to how IEC handled the process. We may need to subject ourselves to that established process, which is, and I think you're interacting with the PLC, which assists us to coordinate our work with the IEC. I think it's an important matter you are raising with the committee. We need to take responsibility on how collectively we work closely that subject matter that has been raised. I'm going to invite the Home Affairs first Deputy Minister, but I'm aware that you have indicated that you leave. If you're not in, Mr. Thereafter, I will then invite Commissioner Mieta. There are many questions that have been raised or comments, and you'll direct on how the Commission will able to respond to all the issues that have been raised. Deputy Minister.
No, thank you, Chair. I'm still here. What I would suggest maybe as responses from Home Affairs is that probably we take Mr. Skama, Mr. Mavuso, and the DG, then I can try and sum it up. I think I still have time.
Thank you.
If you allow, yeah.
No, thanks, DM, for staying with us. Let's start with Mr. Sigama, then Mr. Mavuso, and DG, and the DM. Mr. Sigama.
Thanks very much, Chairperson and honorable members. Now, I'll start with the question raised by Honorable Kanyile with regards to the issuance of smart ID cards to naturalized citizens. I'd like to indicate that indeed we have started the process of developing the system. We have notified most of the people that are affected, and in due course, then the minister will make that announcement. But we have made a lot of strides in with regard to the development of the system, and the system stands ready at any given point. Then we should be able to announce that those people can now come and apply. Then on the issue of dead and alive cases, unfortunately this weekend we have not received even a single case on dead alive. All we received was just a few cases that have reported here, 49 of them. Most of them were just duplicates and amendment cases. Then in terms of network failure, I think Mr. Mavuso will spend more time on that one. But as DM indicated during his opening address, it was just a matter of 3 hours, wherein CETA indicated that they were undergoing some maintenance process, which after we've informed them, they had stopped. That's why we were able to resume with our processes at Home Affairs. But suffice to say, Mr. Mavuso would say shame on life, because we had prepared letters to CETA informing them about the opening of our offices and the role that they would like them to play during the 2 days where we were open. Then the question around if I'm to move to Honorable Ruth, the issue of TIC is when the system is offline. We may not be able to issue TICs, because remember, you need a system so that you verify that person online. You have to make sure that everything is okay according to the system. Then you approve it so that the front office can be able to issue that particular TICs. So when you are offline, it becomes very difficult. That's why when we experience that problem, we have to make sure that we move swiftly with our service providers to assist us in making sure that we restore the system. What happened prior to voter registration weekend was that we had huge traffic in terms of the volumes that we received from service providers and other people that are benefiting from this system, wherein the volumes now had to clog the system. So what we did, we had to make sure that we go back to the drawing board, and we then make sure that we perform the so-called load balancing, wherein you have to make sure that the inflow in terms of the traffic and what goes out needs to be balanced. And secondly, also to schedule some of those bulk verification that were being received from other institutions to then run later or in the evening to allow our incoming traffic to be received and processed first. So it was more about load balancing and making sure that you run priorities to allow the inflow of applications. So that, I think it had worked, because we're was done prior to the voter registration, and we were able to test it throughout. That's why there were no serious challenges over the weekend in terms of that process. So I think the rest, I'll leave it to Mr. Mavuso just to conclude on some of the issues, particularly on Saturday issues that were discussed at length within the department and the unions, but my colleague will add more light on that one. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Mr. Skama. Mr. Mavuso?
Chairperson?
Mr. Mavuso, can you proceed?
Chairperson, it's massive, it's not in the meeting. It's not in the meeting, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you. DG? Mr. Sgamo?
Chair, I'm here. Now, I may just conclude by saying, yes, the issue of Saturdays, because Mr. Mavuso, I see, is not here. Is attending another committee, then we will have to reopen discussions on that part so that we engage our unions, so that we then find space to make sure that we then extend this opening of offices over the weekend. Because indeed, what we saw over the weekend, indeed, it was overwhelming, because we saw clients coming in numbers, even others making also suggestions to say, look into this matter, so that at least you open once a month to allow those who are not able to come to your offices during the week so that they can receive services. I think the rest I've covered, Chair, and back to you.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Sama. We'll interact with the Mr. Navuso in our next session when we're going to focus around CETA and the IT areas at Home Affairs. DG is not in the meeting, DM?
Yeah, no, thanks, Chair. My mistake, some of the colleagues actually went to accompany the minister in the other cabinet committee presentations. Apologies, but I think I will be able to respond to most of the questions. Well, Chair, the first one is that the system update or maintenance by CETA resulted in live capture not working, which means that we could not capture and we could not issue documents, which is what would have also affected what Honorable Ross is referring to with regard to the issues of TICs. As Mrs. Gama was saying, when you issue the TIC, you firstly have to verify biometrics of a person that you are issuing the certificate to the right person. So during that period when we had the issue with CETA, that is what affected our ability to offer some of the services. And I think it also has to do with the other question about being offline next time. We are not planning to be offline next time. And basically the issue was just about maintenance. And what we have decided to do is that we will write a letter to CETA at a ministerial level and also demand that action be taken, primarily because we had a plan and we were all supposed to stick to the plan. So no one was supposed to be doing a maintenance that we had specifically told them it was unnecessary and it was going to hinder our applications. We do want to be open almost every Saturday, Honorable Ross. But I think as the chair has also indicated, we did run into issues with labor, but we will continue pursuing that option to make sure that offices are open, whether we give one day a week to a staff member, we'll be working, but we'll find a way of maintaining the modalities that have to do with us opening on Saturdays. The other issue is that, yes, we'll continue to run the media campaigns. I think they also help from our side in terms of the promotion of participation in democracy by alerting our citizens that they must be in possession
of enabling documents for them to be able to participate in democracy. In fact, we are broadening the scope of the media campaign to focus on other issues around early birth registration, but our focus is to lower the number of the 135,000 first-time issue. As you will know, we know that it's a moving target. As you are issuing out identity documents, other people come in to apply. But that number needs to go very low, and that is what we are targeting. And I think Mr. Sikama has indicated the issue of naturalized citizens. We've made great strides there. Very soon we'll be making a groundbreaking announcement on how we are going to run with that particular process. There is nothing now standing on our way from issuing the smart ID cards to naturalized citizens. But most importantly, we would like to thank the members of the committee for the support they gave us over the weekend, and also alerting us on the situation on the ground, which also allowed us to be able to promptly respond to the issues and fix whatever glitches that might have been there. Even in the next voter registration weekend, Home Affairs will make sure that we deploy capacity to the weekend, and also thank the management staff who were sent to various provinces to deal with the issues. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, DM, for your comment and responses on all the issues. Commissioner Mierza, I'm going to invite you. You will assist the committee how your team and the executive respond on the issues that have been raised in the Commissioner Mierza.
Thank you, Chairperson. I am going to call upon the CEO to deal with the issues and ask members of the Commission at the end if there's anything that we need to see. But let me preface that by dealing with about five issues of a nature that I think I need to deal with. The first one is the issue of the judgment in the Constitutional Court. I want to be clear, Chair, that when we say we are ready, we were referring in specific terms to the work we are doing with respect to registration, whether registration one or two, and I'll explain, and the CEO might explain some more later. This work, as you have seen and we have explained to you last week, it's work that we have done. But we have been clear, absolutely clear, about our anxiety in relation to the delay in the court judgment. And Chair, I'd like honorable members to help us if they do have advice they can give us. We certainly are of the view that we can't, with all of our anxiety, we can only say and ask that, you know, we be assisted. But I don't know what we need to do other than impugn the dignity of a court. We can't. We certainly are constrained, and we have to respect that. We accept that the court has a difficult matter to deal with, and the court understands. We were clear in our papers what would help us in the circumstances. If members may be reminded, in our papers, we were clear that ideally we want this matter clarified before the end of September. And that's the best we can do. I think members can assist us if they have ways they know we can deal with the matter better in this regard. I think I indicated that the question of SAR 2 and others are honestly not are disproportionate to the discussion we have. And I want to put figures on the table in this respect. We have recruited in this registration weekend over 69,718 people. Of those, only 6,307 were teachers. And I honestly want to submit to this committee that it will be incorrect to say if you're a teacher, you're SATU. We understand the context of our nation. We have put these names before people, before parties, and parties have helped us. We have many difficult places in the country where we deal with unavailability of other classes of persons. I want to be also clear that of the 69,000 people, more than 35,640 of them were youth, were under the age of 35. And you will recall, Chair and the committee, that this has been a balancing act we have time and time again presented to the committee, to the parties, and said, we have to strike a balance. These are people in the main that are unemployed. It's not that we don't look at that pool. But I'd like this committee to please accept our bona fides that we do look at these matters and we address them to the best of our abilities, as I here demonstrate. The third issue that I really want to point out is our gratefulness to the work that you have done in the committee, that the parties have done. In fact, the registration of people between the ages of 16 and 29 is not 50%. It is 73%. And that is important, and we must accept that, you know, we are making inroads. We must not be complacent. We still need to continue. And I want to assure this committee that we will not be complacent. I also want to deal with the issue of temporary infrastructure. The IEC owns no properties. We go and use that which communities have. And as you know, Chairperson and members, we compete with weddings, with funerals, with parties over the weekend. And we can only use that which is in the community. And in truth, the use of infrastructure mimics that situation. On Saturday night, many parts of our country, including Tshwane, have had strong winds and storms, some parts. I was out in Tabazimbi area, and they had huge storms. Every one of our temporary stations was blown away and put down. How I think we need to gauge this is how quickly we react to issues like that. And I submit that our own assessment indicates that we did, in fact, recover as soon as we could possibly do. The last issue I want to address is the issue of South African citizens who are in countries where we don't have missions. I want to say to the committee that the law we have been given by Parliament says we only go to countries that have missions where there is South African territory. We simply cannot go beyond this area. On that basis, Chair, please permit me to ask the CEO to deal with the other questions, and then members of the commission may just indicate if we have covered everything else. I do not take it for granted, Chair. All the congratulations, all the advice we get from this committee, and all the assistance, we heartily acknowledge it. Thank you very much. CEO.
Thank you, Chairperson and Chair of the committee. Thanks again for the opportunity. The online facility, the online registration portal, registered 140,000 people on the 18th. And it's been a very good experience for people. And Mr. Rawls, member of the committee, quite correctly points out that we had a dip on Sunday the 19th at about 11. The problem that was identified was the interface of mapping. It was taking too long to process transactions. We only found a solution much later in the day, at about 7, and changes have been made since, and the portal is now fully functional. It's a very seamless experience, and so on. Of course, we are investigating what the cause of that lag in processing, why did it happen, and so that it can be redressed so that it doesn't recur when next we have the second registration weekend. Of course, the people that attempted to register online, we have their details, and we have a plan to go back to them so that they can complete their registration. It's an important initiative they took, and it must be brought to finality so that they are placed in the VITAS role. So there is a project we're activating to reach out to them and to ask them to complete what they had started. The issue of the online registration portal overseas, yes. I think let's acknowledge that we have experienced delays in this area, and we
Chairperson of the commission.
Thanks, Chair. So we're not proud about those delays, but we're working flat out to get that portal ready. The issue, because Mr. Rose is asking, what is the issue? There's a software input that the developers think will make the experience much better. And that software input is being sourced, and we hope to have it later, to have that later in the week. It has to be integrated into the portal. And once that is done, with a bit of testing, we don't want to take out something that is half-baked. We don't want to take something that is half-baked and then have to take it down to do repair work and so on. We are aware of the frustration that is out there, and as soon as we are able to, which won't be long from here, we will make those announcements about the readiness of the portal. You didn't ask this question, but I think it's important because it's a question that came up. We will similarly have a registration weekend for citizens abroad on a date that the Commission will announce in the new year. So the citizens that are abroad who may not have access to the online opportunities will also have an opportunity for physical registrations at the missions. Now, the use of the word offline in the context of the VMD needs to be understood. Offline mode of the VMD is a conscious, is our conscious creation. It is not because the VMD can't operate. Now, there may be many reasons why the VMD defaults to offline mode. It may be that the transaction hits the database, but there are delays in processing the transaction in the database. If that happens within 5 seconds, the VMD will default to offline. That is a conscious creation, our conscious creation. Similarly, there may be issues on the APN, on the access point network. There may be a dip in bandwidth and so on. We created this offline so that the voter experience in the voting station is not bad. You stand there, whether the machine is offline or online, you record the transaction, you leave. The next person comes and so on. So the offline should not conjure an image of an outage. It's not an outage. It's a creation to facilitate the registration of people. And it is no surprise to us that the substantial majority of the registrations that happened over the weekend were actually offline. Had we not created this offline mode, it would mean those 100,000 people would have had to wait for much longer in the voting station. So the offline mode, it's working, and it is not a mistake. It's a necessary part of our offering. So our staff were trained and in fact, when the VMD is offline, it does say proceed capturing, you know, to know that when the thing is offline, you proceed per normal. And then their own experience is the same. The frontal screen, offline and offline, is the same. The only difference is that the type of mapping is different. There is no satellite imagery when the VMD works in an offline mode. That's the only fundamental difference. So there shouldn't be anyone waiting saying, no, I'm waiting to go online. No, that if that happens, it's an aberration. The rule, you work as if you are online, and there shouldn't really be a difference. And then the issue of the boundaries, I think it would help if we can get the precise wards that is involved in the issue that a member Kanyile is raising, because then we can look at whether the issue there, is it a ward boundary or is it a VD delimitation issue? If it's a ward boundary, it's a matter that the commission can do little about, because that falls within the purview of the Municipal Demarcation Board, and the commission would have to draw voting districts within the discipline of the boundary demarcated by the Municipal Demarcation Board. We can't encroach over the ward boundary. We can only work within the defined space of a ward boundary. So if we can get that, we can then look at it and tell you whether the issue is the ward boundary. If the issue is a voting district delimitation issue, in other words, a voting district boundary, it can be looked at. Of course, our delimitation exercise has been concluded a while back, and the process for the determination of voting district boundaries involves the local party liaison committee. Once our staff has done field work and they've made proposals, those are taken to the party liaison committee at the municipal level. And each party then looks at two things, the voting district boundaries as well as the proposed voting stations, and each party signs off on that. But be that as it may be that if it's a voting district issue, you know, it must be revisited before the second registration weekend. But that is the process. It involves field work by our staff and engagement at the level of the PLC, at the municipal level, where they actually sign off in relation to the boundary of the voting district as well as the voting station. Now, can we sustain the communication campaign? Well, our funding is such that it is event-driven. We will have a similar campaign for the registration weekend coming, so that every citizen of the country is aware of the second registration weekend, when it's happening, how to find out where voting stations are, what are the requirements for registration, and so on and so on. And we'll engage communities in terms of our civic and democracy education so that we give people sufficient education to register. So, but maybe to answer the question, we are not funded to have a perpetual campaign. It's an event-driven campaign. It says that now we'll maintain an educational profile in radio and so on. But then as we prepare for the second registration weekend, we'll mount a massive campaign for the country. Does the 90% uptime include the online component? Now, of course, if we are down, it means all services are down, including the online service. Now, I know that the chairperson has dealt with the issue. And we did commit that we will engage once again with political parties, our primary stakeholders within the PLC. We, in other words, we've not closed the door to engaging and in a conversation. Here are additional points that I think this committee has to be alive to. Currently, a call is being made against a class of people, and that is couched as teachers. Now, there may be merit, there may not be merit. I'm not arguing the merit. What happens if another call is made against another class of people who are part of our staff? Let's say a call comes, we don't trust Urban Youth because 1, 2, 3. What then happens? It leaves the commission in a very untenable position where certain class of peoples are debarred from engagement in the electoral process. The second issue is this. The voting station requires some level of supervisory and management experience. Because you need a person who has run, who has managed people, because you're managing people there, you're managing staff, you're managing a relationship with party agents, you're managing your interaction with the voter. Now, you may be brilliant as a graduate, but you've never been exposed to the management environment. How do you deal with it? So, and the commission is never saying is this or the other. We need to find a balance between the imperative of giving employment exposure to the unemployed, which we did, to the extent that 50,000 of people who worked over this weekend were the unemployed. And balance that though with people who are experienced, who have run processes before, and so on. So it's not this group against the other group. It's about finding a balance between those two imperatives. Otherwise, we run a risk of meeting the popular demand, but giving a very weak performance in terms of the management of voting stations. Because the more you remove the experienced cohort within the voting station, and replace it with totally persons that perhaps are deserving but have not been exposed to management practices. The quality of the voting station experience is impaired. So I think the commission has got to ensure that ultimately the process is managed well, but it offers opportunities to those unemployed people who are deserving. It's not one of these against the other. It's about finding the right balance. And the issue of a class of people is a constitutional issue to the extent that people have a right to associate. But also, is LRA tells us in Section 5, no person may discriminate against an employee exercising any of their rights conferred in terms of the Act. And the Act, the right that they have is association. You know, and so I think we really have got to take a constitutional, or rather we must enter the debate on the side of the Constitution and the protection of the rights of people and balance the imperatives of the country in that equation. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, CEO. Commissioner, yes, I'm coming back to you if other commissioners will want to comment. I'm not sure the CFO, if there's any other matter you want to respond on before I invite the commissioner and other commissioners.
Chair, I think I'm well covered. There's just one question that was asked on the CDE events, to what portion of the country was covered. When the programs or the events are rolled out, they rolled out throughout the country. We don't do segments. It's done throughout the country. So I think that question was not responded to.
Yeah, there was also a matter in relation to the labor dispute.
Thank you, Chair. I made a comment on that one. We do have an issue regarding with the ORP review at the Labor Court, and it's not being affordable to fully implement. That is the issue. Thanks, Chair.
Commissioner Merda?
Chairperson, thank you. And please, Chair and members, accept my apologies. I was anxious. My machine was playing up. I had someone to come and help me. I didn't realize they were working on the machine, and I sent to them, please, I hope I didn't sound arrogant because I'm online and I need help. I apologize for it. I want to check, members of the commission, I think the matters have been dealt with, but I want to check Commissioner Mashinini, Judge Pillay, Commissioner Masuku, if there's anything we have missed that you want to raise.
Commissioner Mashinini?
Thank you, Chair. I'm covered. Thank you.
Commissioner Masuku?
I'm covered. I'm well covered, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Commissioner Pillay?
I'm good. Thank you.
Very Chair, I have no additions, honestly. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Commission, Commissioners, and the Executive for having responded to all the issues and comments and also taking notes of the advices the committee has presented. And thanks, Honourable Members. Honourable Ross, I see your hand.
Thank you, Chair. May I just please ask a question of clarity on one of my questions?
Proceed, Honourable Ross.
I just want to understand on the overseas registration portal, are we now waiting for a software issue or are we waiting for regulations? If I can just get clarity on that, because there seems to be different communications going on at different times in this regard. And then just my other question, Chair, I don't remember it being answered, was when somebody arrives at one voting station and they registering for another one, and some people were turned away in that regard. I just wanted clarity from the IEC whether that's supposed to happen or not. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Okay, can I check any other member who still have clarity so that we don't come back to commission members? You can lower your hand, Honourable Ross.
CEO?
We've heeded the advice that Honorable Rose gave when we interacted last week, that the regulations be separated. Those are ready. They can be published anytime. We just wanted to align the readiness of the launch of the portal overseas with the publication of the regulations. They are ready. We can publish them in minutes. The in other words, they've been extracted from the rest of the other things as was proposed. The key thing at the moment is to resolve the software issue that I'm talking about. And that software issue is really to give a better experience on the portal for people overseas, you know. And we're working at it at speed, and the Commission will announce in the not too distant future when the launch will be. Then the registration anyway, yes, it is indeed so, Honorable Rose, that you can register anywhere on the VMD. And if staff was, some staff, because I can imagine it's at all 23,000 points, did indicate that no, you can't register because whatever. It's an aberration. And we'll obviously have a refresher interaction with staff before the second registration weekend. And it's one of the points that we'll underscore in the refresher process. Thanks, Chairperson.
No, thanks very much, Kulube, and your team and members for having interacted on this report. And also thank IEC for your second quarter performance report and also your targets that have been achieved. I think it's a demonstration of good work and the commissioners and also the Home Affairs, where there are issues raised by the committee. And I'm happy that both Home Affairs, DM, and also yourselves, the commission, are able to take note on some of the issues that members have raised and take them to implementation. The minister, as we have indicated, and I think it's a matter which we must recap that he is busy presenting both the Electoral Matters Amendment Bill in Cabinet Subcommittee and also other bills that must be tabled before, so that we're able to interact with them. I think the matter was raised by Honorable Bongo in terms of some of the consequential amendment that we could have interacted with. So we're awaiting that process so that the committee will able to deal with that. The Commission, you have sufficiently covered the committee and responded in the manner that comforts the portfolio committee, but also because the PLC interacts with most of the issues as we interface with the electoral process in relation to the subject matter that has been raised by added by the CEO of SATU and others. We are fully grounded on the process we've undertaken to recruit all citizens of the to participate and facilitate in assisting us as Parliament and also as the Independent Electoral Commission to execute the electoral process, and are fully sufficient covered on that matter in the explanatory notes that you have provided. But also we trust on the work that the PLC and the IEC undertake to work closely in order to deal with some of the issues that may arise within the institution. And those that the parties have raised and objectively will negatively impact the work of the IEC, we're fully happy that you're able to take note within that spirit of the PFC. Members, we have done with this presentation in Home Affairs, Deputy Minister and your team. Thanks very much. Also the presentation that you have interacted with the committee. We are done with the two items, members, and we request you, Deputy Minister, you can excuse the meeting, and the Commissioner, Commissioner Mirza, and the team, you will then excuse the meeting because we are now dealing with another item so that we are able to allow members to interact. Thanks very much for attending this important meeting. Mr. Matonzi, is there any other matter before they leave the meeting?
Chairperson, no, there's no other matter.
Okay. Thanks, Commissioner Mirza, and all the team. And thanks, Deputy Minister. Ms. Adams?
Oh, thank you.
Good morning, members and chairperson. I'm just showing my face, but I'll turn off the video just to save bandwidth. Yes, members were already engaged in this process of the legacy report in our strategic planning at the beginning of the year, where we drafted the first draft of this legacy report. And now the administration of parliament is requiring us to submit a revised draft. And this revised draft is according to a new template that's been given to us. So it's slightly different format than the legacy report presented at the beginning of the year, so that there's institution-wide similarity between the various reports so that it can be integrated into one large report. For the sake of time, not much has changed since the last legacy report. I've just updated the progress made by the committee since our April-May meeting. And for here now, we'll just quickly cover the executive summary in the beginning and the outstanding recommendations at the end, which are basically what work this committee has not been able to complete and will need to be considered by the next committee of parliament, in the seventh parliament. That said, there is also time for the DHA and the other entities to respond to some of these issues prior to the rising of Parliament, and so the report will be updated as one of the last processes that this committee undergoes. So, briefly, the executive summary indicates that the key issues over the 5 year of the Portfolio Committee legislative schedule was that it dealt with 4 amendment bills and conducted 7 oversight trips, and in addition to 4 joint oversight trips relating to illegal mining and civil unrest. The planned schedules of the committee were not strictly adhered to due to the need to arise to issues of concern. The lockdown-related and COVID pandemic restrictions and amendments to the Electoral Amendment Act, which took almost 3 years to process due to extensive consultations, debates, and protracted drafting processes by the Department of Home Affairs. Despite the significant obstacles, the committee had a busy schedule and a good working relationship with the Ministry of Home Affairs, the Electoral Commission, and the Government Printing Works. The committee expanded its performance and budgetary oversight to include presentations and quarterly reports of the Department of Home Affairs, Electoral Commission, and Government Printing Works, and worked closely with the Office of the Auditor General and National Treasury. Towards the end of the term in 2023, the Board of Management Authority was also established as a new entity falling under the oversight scope of the committee. The key areas of future work are that the committee will need to follow up on the implementation of the State Capture Report to address some outstanding issues, including the amendments to the Electoral Act to provide for electoral system that will make members of Parliament accountable to define constituencies on proportional representation and constituency system for national elections. There will be significant ongoing work related to implementation of the Global Compact on Migration, African Union Vision 2063, and the country's policy white paper on citizenship, immigration, and refugee protection. The committee will need to oversee completion of the advanced printing facilities at the GPW in Pretoria to prepare for the phasing out of the Green ID book and full rollout of the Smart ID card, as well as the introduction of e-passport and potential African Union passport. There are outstanding draft pieces of legislation at an advanced stage, which will have to be processed by the committee, including the DHA Bill, the Marriage Omnibus Bill, the State Princess Bill, and the revisions to the Immigration and Refugees Bill. The committee will need to monitor the implementation of the outstanding recommendations of its prior budget review and recommendation reports, not all of which are covered in this legacy report. The challenges emerging is that a significant portion of the term of the committee was conducted under the restrictions put in place during the COVID-19 pandemic, which decreased the targets set by the DHA, GPW, and IEC, as well as the related budget and achievements against even these reduced targets. The committee mode of work also changed from more in-person meetings and oversight to primarily online meetings. In some ways, this improved the efficacy of expenditure against the backdrop of decreased budget allocations and a constrained fiscus, as the cost and time of flying to Cape Town for committee meetings and by the committee and entities was reduced significantly and allowed for more focus on constituency work and easier access to committee meetings by interested members of the public. The Department of Home Affairs took a significantly longer than promised time to draft the Electoral Amendment Bill and the related Consequential Electoral Matters Bill, which contributed to delayed response by the committee to meet the Constitutional Court deadline to amend the Act before June 2022, as well as the need for Parliament to rush to complete the bill in time for the 2024 election, with enough time for the IEC to implement the related changes. This was in part due to the limited legislative drafting capacity both within the DHA and within Parliament. The broad international perspective needed by the committee in its work around electoral legislation and systems reform was undermined by repeatedly declined applications for international study tours, in part due to budget constraints. The GPW experienced significant management and labor issues, as well as a significant IT failure and data loss, which led to extensive disruptions to its annual reports, audits, and the need for protracted external and internal interventions and remedial action. A lengthy period with an acting chairperson delayed key legislative and oversight decisions by the committee. And by the committee, to make it more specific. The committee only had a dedicated researcher for half the time of its term due to a lengthy appointment process, budget limitations, and a resignation. So then to briefly go through the report, there's an introduction into how the Parliament has functioned and our main work. The matters left over from the previous first Parliament, which are still on matters of concern, an overview of how the report has functioned, an overview of the work of the committee, including its legislative and oversight work, a summary of the outstanding recommendations of all these the oversight trips conducted to the various provinces, and then the engagement of all our different stakeholders, the process undergone by particularly the Electoral Amendment Bill in terms of public hearings and public participation, which obviously took up a lot of our time, and then obviously the restrictions already mentioned around the conducting of study tours as well as statutory appointments, in our case mostly for the IEC commissioners. There are then a summary of the state capture recommendations and what is still outstanding, details of the various pieces of legislation that we went through and what is still required, and then our key projects in terms of the large scale project priorities that we need to conform to. In terms of, for instance, the medium-term strategic framework, the National Development Plan, and the annual State of the Nation address commitments. So these are some of the ones mentioned from this year. And then some of the more elaborate details of the challenges encountered by the DHA, the IEC, the Government Printing Works, and the Board of Management Authority. I then listed the outstanding issues, which subsequent to the sending of the draft report to the members, I've just divided those recommendations into the four entities, so they're not just this one long list, as well as the recommendations specifically to Parliament. So going through the DHA first, the 7th Parliament Committee will have to look at the monitoring of ongoing modernization and integration of Home Affairs identification and migration systems and digitization of old paper records, which is complicated but essential for the security and governance of the country. need for more systematic report back by provinces on issues identified during oversight by the committee. Ongoing engagement with HA and CETA on network downtimes, including for mobile offices. A follow-up on the implementation of the Lebusi permit review recommendations and the subsequent delegation of functions back to lower level staff by the DG to address the backlog created by the investigation and COVID-19. The renewal of visa processing services or systems is critical for the economic development of South Africa and must ensure that only complete applications are submitted with more online functionality and the prosecution of use of fraudulent documentation. The ongoing limited capacity for drafting legislation within government and particularly the DHA and Parliament is having a negative impact on the ability to pass legislation timelously, particularly given the increase in constitutional court rulings requiring Parliament to amend laws within given periods of time. This also results in increased litigation against government where laws are found to be lacking or not being implemented. Draft Immigration Amendment Bill 2018 dealing with deportations was pending further engagement with stakeholders by the department on its implementation and may rather form part of a comprehensive overhaul of the act planned by the DHA for the 425 period. Comprehensive Citizenship, Immigration and Refugees White Paper is due in 2023-24. And members will know that this is open for public comment, the draft version of this white paper, and related bills in 25-26. It is critical that this policy strikes the right balance between security, economic development, and compliance with international human rights commitments, as well as regional integration initiatives of SADC and the AU. Continue to expand the rollout of services through mobile offices and bank branches to address the issues such as late registration of birth that are not responded to. IEC, new appointment of electoral commissioners will need to be done well ahead of their 2027 and 2028 term expiration. Members will note there was a gap between the end of the term of Commissioner Love and her reappointment, which left a gap in the capacity of the IEC. So there's also a recommendation to the judicial processes. Monitor the establishment and progress of the Electoral Reform Consultation Panel, and the consequential amendments from the Electoral Amendment Bill will require electoral system reform well before the 2029 in national elections. Given our experience of the delayed process of drafting the related legislation in this term. BWG, the State Printers Bill has been promised and delayed by the government printing works since the fifth Parliament and must be monitored for urgent implementation. The ongoing audit challenges and ministerial review panel on the GPW loss of key financial data in 2021 and 22 will have ongoing impacts on its annual reports for the medium term. The BMA, the full capacitation and role of the BMA to all naval ports. The full capacitation and rollout of the BMA to all naval ports will need to be monitored by 2029. Monitor the effectiveness of the BMA in terms of cost and capacity as compared to the former functioning of departments serving these functions. So already we're seeing that the BMA in this regard is indicating that they have limited capacity and financing, but the big selling point for the BMA legislation was that it would be more effective and efficient than the current functioning. So this comparative analysis will need to be done in the long term. In terms of recommendations to Parliament, there needs to be consideration for making more than one committee meeting for the committee in a week, given the capacity for the committee to address all its demands for targets and progress. Then considering the need for the committee to have international awareness of electoral systems and modalities as well as migration management when considering applications for study tours and for committee members to form part of parliamentary or interparliamentary election observer mission, and monitoring the outstanding budget review and recommendation report recommendations. Those are the recommendations, and then the conclusion is just a summary and a high-level summary of the same issues, pretty much the same as was covered in the executive summary at the beginning. So this is what we have thus far. I hand over back to you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Adams. Members, we can note the presentation. We can then deal with it. Members will look at it. There may be other issues you want to add, and in our next and I think Adams will advise on the submission date of the legacy report. What I'm aware that once we've concluded on our committee sitting, we'll able to have a final legacy report. And I think it will be important that we take time and note on the report. Before then, Mr. Adams, when is the due date to submit this final report so that members can contribute, informed by some of the issues that will be advising us?
Jefferson, the end of November. So that will be next week, Thursday. So I'm open to receive input from members now, or if you guide us, I can get written responses and we can deal with it in next week, Tuesday's meeting. But that also depends because we may be dealing with the electoral legislation next week. So I'm not sure how much that might take a lot of time. So I'll take your guidance on it.
Okay. Let's then defer it to ask members to go through it. I know they've went through it, but let's give more time. So that when we deal with this in legacy report, we're able to have a sense of what are the priority issues that will be in the seventh parliament, as you raised here, must be priority for the committee. I'm raising this because you know that the matter that involves the minister and the DG, which I think they've imposed is fine, arises from the fifth parliament. And when we got in the committee, it was not clearly being identified or could not interface with that. None of the team, both Home Affairs and us, could draw attention to that point. So we need to priority issues that we could not deal with. And I think members will guide further for that. But I propose that we can look at it and finalize it next week, Tuesday, this matter. The other matter, members, which I earlier raised, is the issue of the electoral panel's names, that we need to deal with it. We need to get the minister to come to the committee and brief the committee. It has been longer, and the time frame is also lapsed on those two issues. Members, can you guide on how we must deal with them? Honorable van der Merwe?
Chairperson, I think on the issue of the names, I think when the minister comes next week, if we are dealing with the electoral laws amendment or consequential amendment issues next week, would he be able to brief us next week? I think we've only got about two meetings left for this term. So I do want to support you that it's becoming quite urgent that we get that briefing, hopefully next week if possible. Thank you.
Okay. Honorable Molekwa?
Thank you, Chairperson. I've been covered by Honorable van der Merwe. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Pillay?
Thank you very much, Chair. No, I support your proposal that you give members time to be able to look at the legacy report. And I also agree that the minister should try and be able to brief us next week. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Ruas?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I also agree with the proposals for us to go away and consider more inputs on this document, as well as the minister coming back on Tuesday. Chair, I just want to re-emphasize that the minister said
last month that is going to be finalized for this in November. So November's already passed. So it's not only a matter of saying, why didn't you do it? But it really is a serious concern now that even the late deadline has still not been complied with. But yes, Chair, we'll discuss it next week. So I agree on that. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Bongani Bongo. Okay, thanks, members. I think we will wrap up this item. Mr. Matonsi, do we is it possible to have a slot on Friday for the names, or we can schedule it for Tuesday, probably that earlier, the committee meeting maybe at 8:30?
Can I check? No, Chairperson, I did check on the parliamentary program. There's a sitting at 10 o'clock, so I'm not sure if we started at 8:30 and then we'll be done by that time. So, but my suggestion would be that was for the 28th and the 5th of November. You remember that from this coming Friday, we were scheduled to do the study tour. So for the 28th and the 5th of December, there was no meeting scheduled. So I would suggest that if we can have it on Tuesday next week, Chairperson.
Okay. It's fine. Let's take it to Tuesday next week. And Mr. Matonsi, we request before we rise, is it taken to conduct oversight at VFS, and it has not been implemented. Can you find a way to work before we rise on those days that members were supposed to go to study tour?
I don't know, but I will check, Chairperson, because at the moment when we applied for the study tour, it was during when Parliament will be sitting. So from next week, Tuesday as well, until I think the 5th of December, there will be sittings in the National Assembly.
And I'm not disputing that these are conducting oversight on their work. Can we find a way to get to that decision to be implemented?
Okay, no, I'll just try to find out from my manager how we can do it, because I have no idea how we should do it.
It's fine, talk to your manager, but let's find a way to implement the decision of the committee. Committees are going to conduct oversight. They are sitting in their portfolio committee meetings. They attend sittings. Can you assist us to navigate the itinerary of the committee?
I will do that.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other matter on the agenda, Mr. Matonsi?
Yeah, it's adoption of the 2 sets of minutes, Chair. Okay.
Okay, can we deal with that?
Okay, Chair, then show you are able to see. The minutes that we did not adopt last week is the 7th of November. That is where Honorable Lotrick briefed the committee on the Electoral Amendment Commission Bill, which that is the private members bill, Chairperson. That was the first briefing. Those are the members who were there in the meeting.
Okay. Any comment on the before we adopt? Can I invite hands to adopt the minutes to this meeting?
I will move for the adoption, Chairperson.
Move for adoption, Honorable Panar Merve. Seconder?
I'll second it, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Ross, and I'll play for seconding. Minutes have been carried.
Then the next one is last week's meeting. This is where the IEC briefed us on their readiness for the voter registration weekend of the 18th and the 19th. Then the Department also of Home Affairs briefed the committee on members' queries on the progress that they have made, the e-home affairs system, and the functioning of the contact center at the department.
Thank you, Mr. Matonsi. First, any comments? Can I invite hands for adoption?
Chair, I'll move for the adoption.
Thank you, Honourable Pillay. Seconder?
I will second, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Merwe. Thank you, members. The 2 minutes have been carried. Those are the two sets of minutes, Mr. Matunzi?
Yes, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much, members, for your attendance to the Portfolio Committee to interact with the Home Affairs issues in relation to the voter registration and also your comments, and also to interact with the presentation by IEC on the second quarter performance report, and also on the voter registration weekend, and advices that you have raised to these two stakeholders. We have, if you realize that we have taken out the item on the preparations for 2024 provincial and national elections, we'll defer that to next year. We'll call once we're done with some of the issues in relation to the electoral matters amendment, so that we're able to have a comprehensive report on both the Home Affairs and the independent election. Thanks very much for attending this meeting. Our meeting stand adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.